half the people in our survey told us that they work overtime at least a few days a week because they have so many meetings that they can't get their work done. They are about three times more likely to feel connected to their colleagues when they solve a hard problem together versus when they spend a lot of time together in meetings. I felt totally silly the first time that I did it.
Okay, that's good to know.
In my house recording myself, and I was like, this is absurd. I'm not a TikTok star.
Welcome back to Future Work, the podcast about a happier future of work and the role of technology and humans within that. Today is the last episode of our second season, in which I have the pleasure of speaking with Molly Sands, a PhD and the head of Atlassian's Team Anywhere Lab. Molly is a behavioral scientist turned product and program leader whose work has been published in top-tier academic journals, popular press including the New York Times, and a TED Talk with over 6 million views. Today, Molly shares what's wrong with meetings, what we should do instead, and why you need a chief vibes officer. So let's dive in.
We're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic today, which is meetings. So even though we all love to collaborate and we love to work with other people, somehow meetings are the bane of existence for many, many people. And I know you recently did some research on the topic. So can you maybe share us a little bit about what you found through that research and why are meetings the pain that they are?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all love to hate meetings. So quick intro to Atlassian. We're a software collaboration tool company. We make things like Jira, Confluence, lots of products that really help unleash the potential of teams. And we were really interested in better understanding how teams were using meetings and when meetings were reaching their goals and when meetings were just really not serving their needs. And so we commissioned a survey of about 5,000 knowledge workers across the US, Australia, Europe, India, and asked them a lot of questions about how they were using meetings and how that was working. And I can take you through a little bit of what we learned here. So first, meetings are the number one barrier to productivity, right? They are the thing that people are repeatedly saying is standing in their way of getting their most important work done. 80% of people in the survey actually agreed that they would be more productive if they spent less time in meetings.
Well, we really got to talk to the other 20%. Who are the 20% of people that say, give me more meetings?
Right.
Must be the executives. Yes.
The people that want more. You know, I think there's some people out there that are doing meetings really well, but it is definitely not the norm today. And they seem to just be ruling everyone's lives, more so than even just work. Half the people in our survey told us that they work overtime at least a few days a week because they have so many meetings that they can't get their work done. And as you rise in a company, that number goes up. So we saw for directors that was around 67% of people were saying that a few days a week, the meetings are actually causing their work day to push the
evening. That's like the sort of like the cliche, I'm in meetings all day, therefore I have to work nights and weekends.
Yeah, you need the time to do the work, and the meetings are not meeting that need for people right now.
Magic.
Yeah. And I mean, beyond that too, we're really seeing that they aren't actually solving the problems that people are trying to use them to solve. So not only are they in a ton of meetings, but they're not saying that it's actually helping them accomplish their work, which is really contributing to this issue. So when we ask people what they are using meetings for, we ask them about a lot of different situations, right? Because all meetings are different. You can have meetings for, well, not all of them are different, but they can be used for many, many purposes. And so we ask people what meetings they were, if they were using meetings to connect, to build relationships, to make decisions, to drive work forward, to get clear on their goals, to communicate just the status of what work was happening or what progress they'd made. And across the board, people say that they're using meetings a lot for all of those things. It tends to be a go-to. It's really just a super overused tool. And it's not meeting their needs in a lot of cases.
That would be great to talk a little bit about, right? So it sounds like whenever something needs to be solved or something needs to be done, sort of like the default for people is to call a meeting. And I think those are those moments where everyone jumps onto a call or in person, and then people are just looking at each other, like, why are we here? And it's kind of like, so, okay, so, and then people are gathering their thoughts, like, are people just defaulting to meetings instead of like choosing alternatives that may suit the purpose better?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're seeing in this data, is that people are jumping to schedule meetings, and then they have so many meetings that they don't have enough time to really prepare to use that meeting time in a way that's super valuable to them and the attendees. And it's just not meeting their needs for some of the different types of meetings that they're having. I think one of the most interesting examples to me is this idea of connection. So we want to stay connected with our colleagues, right? We want to know what's going on with them. We want to know them as people. We want to know what's happening with their work. And so a meeting feels like a really good way to do that. But you can very easily build to a point where your whole day or huge portions of your day are 30-minute meetings with lots of different people talking about likely kind of redundant information to what you're sharing in other versions of those 30 minutes. And when we ask people if meetings are actually helping them accomplish that, they don't think so. So overall, they tell us it's not working, but also they're about three times more likely to feel connected to their colleagues when they solve a hard problem together versus when they spend a lot of time together in meetings. And I think that that's a really interesting thing to think about here in how we use our time together in a more valuable way.
Yeah. And also, if you think about like what is at the end of the day, really the objective of the company is to solve those hard problems, right? It's actually to move the business forward rather than just to be talking and connecting, like you said. So what are some things then basically, you know, we talked about meeting alternatives, right? And you mentioned that, you know, Atlassian recently acquired Loom. So I think that's like one of sort of like the darlings of the, especially async and remote world in terms of like, not everything has to be a meeting. You know, you can still have that kind of like the vibe of connecting face to face, but you can do it in an asynchronous manner. So what are some alternatives that you see that people really should be using instead of, you know, again, defaulting to meetings?
Yeah, I think Loom is a really great example. People have recorded about 3.75 million minutes of Looms, which is really remarkable when you think about how much faster a Loom can be than a full meeting to convey a lot of context. I think that's a really, really, you know, wonderful way for teams to communicate in a kind of context-rich way. We just did some experiments at Atlassian where we had managers share updates with their team twice a week via Loom. And we found that the teams felt more connected to the manager. They felt more recognized for their work. They felt more clear on the top priorities for that week, just from these very short 3 to 5 minute asynchronous updates, which is really powerful for something you can do as a manager. I do this for my team every week. I have lots of meetings. I have lots of time that I need to do deep heads down work or work with other people. But these really short touch points can actually be really powerful.
What would you put into those Looms? So let's say like you do this like once a week, like what's the kind of information that you would put into that like video snippet?
Yeah. So we're doing it. We do twice a week within my team. And at the beginning of the week, I schedule them in advance because my team is really distributed. So I have people from New York City to Sydney, Australia. So when they start their week isn't even the same. It's not the same day. Many of them start on my Sunday. So I'll schedule at the end of my day on Friday, quick Loom message with what's top of mind and top priority for the team that week to really just get us all on the same page about what we need to be focused on. Obviously, our higher level goals aren't changing dramatically week to week, but exactly what we need to accomplish and, you know, what's most urgent or most important does vary. And so we'll give them that context, which they usually find really helpful for setting their priorities for the week and figuring out how do they need to be using their time. And then at the end of the week, so usually the end of day, my Thursday, I'll record another update that is around what we accomplished and just really shout outs to the team, like celebrating big accomplishments. If, you know, we finished a big research study or we learned something new and really exciting or started some new partnership or, you know, anything that was really notable, I'll go ahead and just record a few minutes of, hey, these are the things the team did. And I think that brings a lot of visibility and awareness to what they're called.
It's amazing. It's kind of like doing,
feels good.
And it's doing both the things that are so important, right? Like the beginning of the week, basically, you make sure that people have clarity on what to focus on, right? Like what to do, what to channel their energy into this week. And then you kind of like cap it off with like, okay, we've all worked hard this week. And like, here's the result of that, right? Or like, here's something that's exciting to kind of think about. So it feels like a very kind of like fun and energetic kind of pace. Now, of course, I would have to ask the question, right? Because you're cool and young and you work at Atlassian. So of course you would go on a Loom and like talk to your team. Okay, now let's talk about like the 99.9% of other managers who, you know, may not quite be as familiar with that format or not feel really that comfortable. Like, can anyone just pick this up? Like, how did you get into that habit? And, you know, like, what can we learn from you basically in this kind of like way of communicating with the team?
Yeah. So I will tell you, I felt totally silly the first time that I did it.
Okay, that's good to know.
In my house recording myself. And I was like, this is absurd. I'm not a TikTok star. Like,
this is,
you know, not a thing that I was particularly comfortable with. But truly, after a few times, it got really so much easier. And the team had such positive feedback. Like they instantly loved it. Mm. And Loom is cool because you can give a lot of comments within the video. You can clap, you can do a thumbs up, you can give reactions and stuff. So there's a lot of positive feedback that sort of made me say, okay, we've got to keep doing this because it is actually working. But you can definitely do written updates if that's something that you're more comfortable with or technology is, you know, better supporting. We did compare the two, we found that the Looms were actually better for connection with the manager and feeling more recognized. But there's a really positive effect from these types of updates, even if they're just in writing. And so I would encourage anyone to kind of try it out and see how it works. Do it for a little while, see if it works for your team. But there's a lot of other practices we use too at Atlassian that help
us that's
with these things. So I'm happy to talk about some.
Sure. Let's go in.
Yeah. So I would say we use a lot of documents to deflect meetings. We use Confluence, which is one of our collaboration tools that helps us share information at Atlassian. Mm. It's nice because you can give different levels of depth. There's like ways to go deeper and have kind of expansions on certain topics. But we focus a lot on really writing our ideas down. And that helps bring a lot of clarity to those ideas. Yeah. It's harder to write something short and great than it is to talk for a long time in a meeting, to create a presentation. Like there's a lot of forums, but that writing it down really helps us get super clear.
So true. But again, I think it's going against, and I mean, this is, you know, change is always painful, right? But this goes against, I think, the instinct of people that, again, you call the meeting to kind of get your thoughts out and then people build on that. And then you kind of like, you get somewhere. This is basically saying like, we're not going to do any of that. We're going to, you know, use maybe a collaboration document like in Confluence. And actually, you know, you have to think through something and then write it down and people can build on that, which again, it's so not natural for people because I think we've just gotten so used to working synchronously in meetings. So, you know, again, similar to the idea of Looms, like how do you make that transition? Like how do you go from, you know, being a typical manager that does live meetings to this kind of collaboration documents?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that's important is that you don't have to do all the work completely by yourself to use asynchronous practices really well. And I think a lot of times people get kind of tripped up on that of like, if I'm going to write this down, then it has to just be me. I spend lots of time in more unstructured sessions with my team where we have a goal, right? We're trying to solve this problem. We need to understand this better. But we'll have a small group, a couple of people have a pretty free-flowing generative conversation about it. I fully believe that asynchronous brainstorming works really well for a lot of people and for a lot of teams too. In our products, we see too that when people are collaborating to create written content, that it ends up with a lot more engagement from the team. Anytime that we have a page with two or more editors, people like it gets about 10 times more engagement from others. So I think it really is reinforcing this idea of it doesn't all have to be these standard meetings.
Yes.
To start to create value together.
And also because we know that like the 20% that loves the meetings, you know, we know that it's always the same people that speak in meetings, right? It's always the same people who dominate the conversation. And there's probably a lot of voices in that meeting room that don't even really get a chance to talk or don't feel comfortable to speak up yet. Whereas maybe in a collaboration document, it feels a little bit more equal in terms of, you know, how people can put their thoughts in, right? So there's probably a lot of other benefits beyond just cutting the meeting time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a more inclusive approach. I think anytime you're taking a lot of someone's time, you want to make sure that they do have a way to meaningfully contribute. Yeah. And that shouldn't just be the loudest people in the room. And so having a written, a whiteboard or, you know, some sort of any type of virtual or physical tool works, but having a way that everyone can give feedback and ideas, I think is really key for it being a good use of their time.
Definitely. I mean, that's real collaboration, right? But I think we have to kind of like get out of the defaults again that have grown over time to be like the way that we approach work. And other benefits include too, I saw in the research, you know, you talk about something like when you receive a video update, you can watch that at maybe 1.5 speed or double speed, right? So even that same amount of information that you would normally convey, first of all, you can watch it faster, which, you know, I watch all my YouTubes on like 2x, so it's great for me. But then also, you know, you can rewatch it, right? So maybe later on when you actually need that information, you can go back and get that update again, which obviously is very difficult to do with meetings, like hopefully someone took meeting notes or something like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of other benefits. So that's all the reasons why meetings are not that great and why there are many great alternatives for meetings. When are meetings still helpful? So is there still a place for live synchronous meetings where the whole team gets together? Like, why would we still use meetings and when?
Yeah. I think there's definitely a place for meetings. I know that in this conversation, there's so many hot takes of, you know, all meetings are dead, get rid of them all, or, you know, companies and cultures where that's the only way that we work together. But I think there's a very healthy middle ground for all of this. And part of it is about setting goals. So being really clear on what you actually want to do in that meeting, what you're trying to accomplish. And I think that is a useful way that people can lessen their dependency on really traditional meetings. Sometimes we want to have a meeting with an agenda, right? Like, people usually don't know why they're being invited to meetings. That's actually what we saw in this research, that more than it's like 60 something percent of workers are saying that they often attend meetings and they don't know why. They don't have an agenda. They don't have a goal. It's just like you show up and then what are we doing for the next hour together? Which is not a good way to prepare you to be a good participant. And people do believe that agendas or structure of some sort like that really help. So I saw that about 80% of people are saying that it's really useful to have that kind of structure and that makes a better use of time. That doesn't mean we want to use it for everything though, right? So I think when you are really trying to get people on the same page and you think that there's a lot of, you know, there's either a lot of nuance or kind of diverging opinions, I still think the more prepared you can be, whether you have something written or planned for that time is really useful. But it is useful to have synchronous conversations when things are getting super complicated. If you're trying to move really, really fast, sometimes it's easier to just hop on a call. But those meetings can also be different lengths. Our calendars really drive us to the 30 minutes or an hour.
The defaults again.
There's a lot of things you can resolve in 5 minutes. There's a lot of things where you actually need 90 minutes of a working session where you're super deeply focused together. I think those options and really rethinking our calendar defaults and how much time we're using for different things is a huge unlock for meetings being useful.
Which to something you said earlier, Molly, also goes back to, if you have the time, right? If you free up the time, then you actually have time to prepare the meetings that you're going to have much better, right? And then you can think through what is actually the goal of this meeting, right? And what is everyone's role? Not just like the few people that would typically speak, what is everyone's role in this meeting, right? And what is the format of this meeting, right? And how do we structure it well? And how do we make sure it delivers on those objectives, right? So that is now possible because you're not back-to-back in other meetings.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's such a vicious cycle to break, is that you're stuck in the meetings. You don't have time to have really great meetings. And then people aren't having that experience of a meeting that's really great. Because when you have a meeting that is wonderful and you solve a huge problem or you feel like you all really get on the same page, that's an energizing experience. That's not the average meeting experience.
Yes.
But it feels great when you do that. And so we want to help people take control of their time so that they get more of those moments where you're like, oh, wow, we really did solve a hard problem together. And that can absolutely happen synchronously.
That's great. So what is your favorite meeting on your, give us a peek in your calendar. What's your favorite meeting? What's the one you look forward to?
So I really love my team meetings. Mm-hmm. We do them in a different way than I'd ever done before I came to Atlassian, but we use a page where we all add something that we learned that week. We add our like key top priority work so that the rest of the team has some visibility into where we're focused. And then we add personal updates. And so people put photos of what they did over the weekend, really good food they ate, new stuff, cute stuff their kids or their pets are doing. Sometimes they share really meaningful stories about things going on with their family. It just gives you... I learn something new every time because they're sharing what they learned, which usually I didn't know either. And it's a nice way to really connect with everyone. And you could do that some of it async, but we'll spend time all together at the same time commenting and like leaving notes for each other on what everyone else has done. And that is one of my favorite times of the week.
I love that. And so how long would that meeting be? Like how long is that run for?
That meeting is an hour.
Okay.
And we do that part for about half of it.
Okay, nice. And then you just dive into kind of discussion about any like hot topics, any work that needs to kind of move forward that week.
Yeah. So then if we have, you know, if we're doing a kickoff for a project or we have something, some, you know, research results that we want to share and discuss as a team, or there's all sorts of other topics, but those are planned in advance too. And then someone facilitates that part of the session.
Okay, final question about this very important meeting. What day of the week does it take place for you, your time zone?
For me, it's on Tuesday.
Okay. So I really have that like beginning of the week kickoff. Then 2 days later, you have the meeting where you prepare the document. Everyone already has put in all their points. And then there's some time to have the discussion. And end of the week, you basically get that, again, async video update about all the results of that. So that seems like a really, really nice cadence. And this is something you came up with, or is this also sort of like a standard way of working within Atlassian?
Yeah, so we do this across a lot of Team Anywhere, and the Loom updates are something that we're doing more widely at Atlassian. And I think with the team meetings, we're still experimenting with some different methods for teams. So hopefully we'll learn lots more about what's working for all of them. But we did recently introduce we're doing a study on a practice that is very Atlassian called the Chief Vibes Officer, the CVO, where teams choose someone. It's like very silly and very Atlassian in a wonderful way, but it really helps drive team connection and help people build those relationships, especially when we're distributed. And so the teams will pick, they'll have a CVO every week. It rotates across the team and that person will pick a topic. And then they have an async thread. We do Slack where you have some sort of challenge or prompt and you ask people to pick. This week, my team is sharing a childhood photo of themselves.
Nice.
Last week, what did we do last week? Oh, we shared our favorite piece of art. It's a very cultured team. They'll often share books they're reading. We played like some pretty wild would you rather games. Lots of really funny, just fun prompts where you get to learn a little bit about people. And that kind of stuff is so powerful for driving connection. But again, doesn't require a meeting.
That's amazing. Yeah, we have a CFO. We have a chief fun officer. So basically like, their job is to make sure that we have fun. And actually, I know companies always love to have a long list of core values. We just have one, which is make it fun. And we often say to each other, like, if the work gets too serious, it's like, is it still fun? If not, then, you know, let's cut it. Like, what's the point? Life is too short to be in boring work stuff. And I wanted to go back, besides the vibes and the fun, on the idea of time, because I know that you guys have some kind of like magic formula in Atlassian in terms of like what percentage of the week you're spending kind of like on your individual work, what on like collaborative work, and what time in meetings. Can you share a little bit about like that formula, that structure?
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to keep it to under 50% of meeting time. And so what we recommend people start out with is no more than 30% of scheduled meetings.
Okay.
So start your week with that as your threshold or your goal, and then block out some time when you're available to work with your team or your collaborators. So we ask them to find about 20% of their week where they're not going to be booked in something else, but they know that other people that they work with are online. And that really enables that bursty collaboration of, hey, I just need to ask you a question, or I want to send you a few things to look at, or let's work on this or talk about it at the same time. That might fill up with virtual collaboration time where you're on a Zoom or something like that as well.
Yeah.
And then ask people to keep the rest of their week for designated blocks of focus time, and then also some time to react or respond to messages. So we recommend about 30% of the week is just deep focused work, right? Really creating, thinking about hard problems, writing code, depending on what your job is, the things you do with that time might look very different. But the real key to that focus, deep work, is not being constantly interrupted. And so we really encourage everyone to time box their calendars. Mm-hmm. So actually say, these are the blocks of time when I'm going to do certain tasks, and then have certain periods where you are really reactive to notifications and messages and all that stuff. But do give yourself, you know, 60 to 90 to even 2 hours of time to dive deeply into that more meaningful work.
And of course, I mean, first of all, like, thanks for sharing, because I think it's a very practical template for people to kind of apply to their own jobs. Also, like, that is something that can be a really nice principle, but then sort of like the chaos of the day takes over and we end up still being booked. So do you also then is it so much part of the company culture that this actually happens? Or do you, as a manager, as a leader of the team, also have to kind of like, you know, coach people to, you know, adopt those habits and practice those habits? Like, how organic is this?
Yeah. So I think more so than any company I've worked in, Atlassian really takes this approach to spend how they spend time. People do, they're good at asynchronous work here, I would say.
Yeah.
But you still have to be really intentional about it, right? Because it's so easy to schedule lots of meetings or to just have the amount of things you're trying to do at any given time expand beyond the week. And so I really encourage my team, and I do this myself too, to think about your calendar as a prioritization tool rather than just a meeting scheduling tool. And when you start to think about it that way, for me, this was a huge unlock. And I think for a lot of people at Atlassian, this has been true too.
Yeah.
If you're really thinking about, I need to look at tomorrow, what's my top goal for the day? If I look at my calendar and that's not what I see as where I'm spending my time, that's a problem. And so then I need to more dynamically reprioritize. And that doesn't mean no meetings. I actually spend Tuesday as a day that I do a lot of stuff with my team. It's helpful Monday, Tuesday to like get everyone on the right track, make sure they know what's important, get things going as needed. And so I tend to have those as maybe meeting heavier days for me. But then on Thursday and Friday, I'll have very long stretches of, you know, heads down focused work. But if that's not the work cycle that we're in, then we adjust and change it. So I think really my tips are to think of it as dynamic and to make sure that when you look at what you're doing tomorrow, it reflects what you think is actually most important.
And such a great way to rethink the calendar, because I think we look at calendars and we think about, that's my meeting schedule. But you're really talking about it more as like, how am I spending my time? Like, you know, I have a certain amount of time this week, how am I spending it? And even then day to day rethinking, what is my priority for tomorrow? Is that calendar reflecting, or is my planning doing gap there? And basically, is my calendar reflecting what I actually want to focus on? That's a totally different way of thinking about time as well. So it sounds like there's a lot of connection between sort of the principles and practices on one hand, which obviously is informing the culture as well. And then also the technology that enables that, even something as simple as just the calendar and rethinking how you use the calendar. I'm sure you're talking to a lot of other companies as well, right? You're not just focused internally at Atlassian. Like, this research also in part is to educate the world and inspire them to do better, right? So when you're looking at other companies and like how they're approaching tech, I know this is a really big part of the HR agenda right now, is to rethink, you know, what is the technology that's going to enable us to work differently, right? And maybe to adopt more you know, flexible working schedules or maybe even async practices. How would you advise those companies when they're looking at like the technology side of it?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. You know, at Atlassian, we do have our full platform. It's called the Atlassian platform.
And of course, you would use your own technology. Yeah, makes sense.
We use all our own technology here.
It would be a conversation if you have to talk to, you know, like your CEO is like, yeah, so actually I decided to use Platform X because I don't think it works so well. Yeah, no. Got it. Yep.
Yeah, we do use Atlassian at Atlassian, of course. And one of the things that I really love about that is that the way that goals are very much integrated into everything. Mm-hmm. But when I think about evaluating software platforms right now, you know, I'm looking at how they're adopting AI technologies, how that's helping to integrate information. I do think that this idea of helping information flow really transparently in organizations so that people can work whenever, wherever, you know, whatever your work policies are. The nature of work is that it's really happening online now. And yeah. I think that's why so many organizations are spending a lot of time reevaluating what technology they're using. But yeah. The more that it can keep people connected, make goals clear, if there's good, strong defaults, those kind of good behavioral science principles, like those are all the things that I'm looking at for what technology is going to do really well in this next evolution of work.
And so what do you see AI's role within that, right? Because you're talking exactly like the link between remote work or online work or distributed work in Atlassian's case, and then, you know, like the amount of data and documentation that generates, right? Like that obviously is prime then for AI to come in and give you like unlock all that information that, you know, maybe doesn't exist for you because it's not in your team or it's not shared to you directly. So what do you see as AI's role maybe in the next kind of like cycle of evolution of technology in the workplace?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that connecting people with the right information at the right time, making it way easier to gather context is going to be a key role of AI in how it transforms the way that we work, giving people insights when they need them, right? Rather than spending lots of time searching for information. That's something I'm excited about.
Yes.
And that I think is really, really like going to be a, you know, game changer for everyone. I think there's gonna be a lot of surprises too. I don't know that anyone's like perfectly predicting what's gonna happen with AI in the future. I'm very excited to see how we learn. But I think that information and insights are definitely top areas that we're seeing a lot of progress already.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know from the research, right, that like spending time on just getting the right information is another like huge amount of time that people spend at work just to try and get that data.
Yeah, absolutely. With our new AI features, over 90% of Atlassians are already using the Atlassian intelligence to help them sort through gathering context and information within our systems. And so that's really exciting to see.
That is very exciting. Okay. Well, thanks so much for sharing all this wisdom with us. I think there's so many principles and practices we can apply. Obviously, a lot of like good hints at like what software to use to make that happen. Maybe to close out, just like one wish you have for the future of work.
Yeah.
Besides less meetings.
I mean, less meetings, I think, is genuinely part of my wish. But I really think that being in control of your time is very powerful for people. And getting to do more of the building and creating that I think is what draws a lot of people to the type of work that they do. Spending less time on that administrative work about work and more time on actually creating value and solving hard problems and using our brains in new ways. Like that's the stuff that gets me excited about work and that I really love about my job. And I hope that lots and lots of people get to do that more and more, and that it's not so much how many hours are you putting in, but actually what value are you creating, and then go home and be part of your community and do things with your family and whatever it is that really brings you joy. I think we can have more joy in work and more joy outside of work. And that's what I hope that the future looks like for all of us.
Amazing. And you'll drive part of the future. So I know it's in good hands. So thanks so much, Molly, for joining today. And hopefully we'll speak again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Today's discussion with Molly Sands was packed with practical tips on improving collaboration, employee experience, and company culture. Here are a few takeaways to apply as a leader. Number one, the detrimental impact of meetings. While we often default to meetings, they are the top barrier to productivity and enjoyment, with 80% of people saying that they'd be more productive with fewer meetings. Additionally, up to 67% of people work overtime due to these excessive meetings. Number two, alternatives to traditional meetings. Atlassian's research points to asynchronous communication tools like Loom and collaborative documents as powerful alternatives to traditional meetings. For instance, managers that are using Loom for updates, like Molly did, found that their team felt more connected to the manager, more recognized for their work, and more clear on the top priorities for that week. So buy Zoom and go Loom. And number three, Atlassian's formula for an optimal workweek structure. Atlassian recommends allocating no more than 30% of the workweek to scheduled meetings, advocating for a structured approach that includes blocks of focused work, collaboration, and reactivity. I loved Molly's idea of keeping some blocks of time open for more casual co-working between smaller groups of colleagues too. And to look at our calendar not just for meetings, but for everything on how we spend our time. So that's it for today, and that's it for this season of the Future Work Podcast. Please join me again next week when we kick off season 3 as we speak to the one and only HR and technology guru, Josh Bersin. For updates, see flexos.org/futurework.